top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Thursday, February 22nd, in the headlines. CCM Treasurer John Blanchard is questioning why the bill granted to former Prime Minister James is higher than that given to individuals who have committed serious offences. Several senators in St. Lucia advocates for enhanced security measures in schools following recent violent incidents, including some disturbing chopping incidents among students. And as the Ukraine war enters its third year, the infantry of 59th Brigade are confronting the brick reality that they are running out of soldiers and ammunition to resist their Russian invaders. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
DA.com. Right on cue.
Get the frames you love at Quartz Optical. Get 20% off single vision lenses and 25% off progressive lenses. Shop with no cash and pay absolutely nothing for 30 days. Book your eye examination appointment online today on www.quartzoptical.com. We've got the frames you love only at Quartz Optical. Value you can see. Offer ends February 29th, 2024. Conditions apply.
Treasurer of the Concerned Citizens Movement, John Blanchard, shares his perspective on the recent court matter involving former Prime Minister Edison James. He raised concerns about the circumstances surrounding Mr. James' brief incarceration, particularly questioning whether he would have been detained bail if there were no securities available for bail processing. Additionally, Blanchard questioned the disparity in bail amounts between James and individuals who have committed serious offences.
An elder citizen like Mr. James, 80 years old, a former prime minister, a man of good standing in this country, that has never found himself in trouble with the police, with the law. You have the man at that level sitting at the magistrate court, threatening him to send him to jail. So what if Mr. James had no shorty, nobody to stand the bail for him? What happened to him? Even that man would have been sent up to the prison. Sent up to the prison because there's no one to stand bail for him. And the bail amount at that, you know, $50,000 bail. You have gun-related charges and the bail was $40,000. You have charges of murder and big crimes with a much lesser amount for the bail requirements. But you have a peaceful, law-abiding citizen in good standing on bail for $50,000 for bogus manufactured charges that you all are fully aware of. And this guy has been languishing in the courts for about 7 years now, and you're still telling me that is not selective justice? It is. You decide who you want to drag before the courts, and you have the murderers out there on the streets at large because they are your friends, they are your supporters, and probably your Navy SEALs too, and snipers. Who knows? That is what we comment on.
Blanchard also queried the rationale behind the selection of opposition members and the charges leveled against them for incitement. He suggested that such situations persist in Dominica due to the lack of independence of the legal system from the executive branch.
List of 10 persons who were charged for walking the streets of Roseau on a Wednesday. Again, selective justice. Why 10? Why 10? You have many, much more than 10 walking the streets. So why did you choose that 10? Why did you choose Sparks John's sister to charge her and arrest her and put her in a cell? You know, so the reason why we have that situation in Dominica is because the judiciary is not independent of the executive. If that was the case, these cases would have been thrown out, discarded a long time ago, because there is no evidence to substantiate these charges. Yet the government continues to waste the state resources to pursue the matter.
And that was Concerned Citizens Movement Treasurer John Blanchard. National Project Officer for CATS Brandon Defo highlights the organization's dedication to educational awareness as part of a core concept of the mission, evident for various collaborative activities in local schools. despite the challenges posed by the COVID-19 pandemic. The IFO stated that they are actively engaging with schools again. He emphasized that their mission extends beyond educating children in schools to also learning from best practices implemented in home settings.
Right now we're in the schools, the Sufere Primary School, and we have done work with the Point Michelin Primary School as well. It's in the same zone. But before COVID, we had some exchanges with them. We also helped with the education aspect in volunteering to help them to promote their newsletter. So they had their newsletter, and we supported that in the past to get the information out. Well, basically it's not just teaching the kids, but hearing from them as to their practices, the practices at home, you know. So we engage with the schools to do certain projects, like we did one with the Sufere Primary School a couple of years ago, where we taught them about good farming practices, good waste management, all right? We taught them some form of composting. We partnered with the Forestry Division as well to teach them how, you know, like how to plant. The school had a school feeding program. We showed them the benefits of turning that into a business. And we also had a marine project with a kids fishing clinic, where we taught them, you know, best, what you call that? Practices. Fishing practices and stuff like that. So we had a gap from the COVID, and we're getting back into the schools right now. So right now we're looking at partnering with them to do some more projects coming in the following month.
National Project Officer for Camps, Brendan Difo. The Dominica Girl Guides Association is gearing up to mark World of Thinking Day 2024 today, centered on the theme Our World, Our Thriving Future, Our Environment and Global Poverty. Joseph Seraphine Hendrington, President and International Commissioner for the Association, highlighted the significance of this year's theme, particularly the emphasis on the environment. Speaking on state-owned radio, she noted the growing interest among girl-focused organizations in addressing environmental issues.
World Thinking Day was established in 1926. However, since 2022, the theme has been focused on environmental issues through the lens of gender equality, peace, and poverty. This environmental theme was born out of 2020 youth consultations for International Day of the Girl, where Girl Guides and Girl Scouts under 18 years from 100 countries reported that the environment was their number one concern that they wanted to address. Our objective is to work together to implement ideas for the creation of a more prosperous future where all girls thrive in an environmentally sustainable world free of poverty. As we confront the issue of poverty, we must recognize that as a Caribbean island in the front line of climate change, the consequences have a direct impact on the poverty rate within our country. More reasons why this theme is very relevant to us. We must make it a priority to continue learning about climate change and taking action to tackle the problems it has created. This is why today we are called to think. In this battle, every thought, idea, or suggestion is worthy.
Josette Seraphine Hendrington, President and International Commissioner for the Girl Guides Association of Dominica. The United Kingdom and the Caribbean Community Climate Change Center have initiated the Small Island Developing States Capacity and Resilience Program for the Caribbean, with Dominica as a focal point. Launched in Jamaica on Tuesday, February 20th, 2024, this program stems from a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, signed between the UK and the Caribbean Community Climate Change Centre, amounting to £2.7 million in September of 2023. Part of the UK's broader commitment of £11.6 billion for climate finance, the CEDAR program aims to support adaptation and resilience efforts in small island developing states. Specifically in the Caribbean, it seeks to bolster access to climate finance and accelerate climate resilient actions in selected countries, including Dominica. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95da.com. Project Officer for Sustainable Marine Financing Project, Camille David, provided insights into the concept of a marine reserve emphasizing its role in sustainably managing essential resources within a designated area, such as the one found in Sufria. He highlighted the need to protect various natural elements within this area, which led to the establishment of the Sufria Scotshead Marine Reserve.
Marine Reserve is a tool that is used to sustainably manage the critical resources of the defined space, that is the Sufria area. Obviously, there are a number of important features of that site. I mean, biodiversity, we have the corals, we have the scenic nature of the area. So all of these needs to be protected because the livelihoods of the communities and Dominica's resilience strategies all embedded in the intactness of these resources. So if we don't pay attention to it, actually, and we allow it to degrade, we are basically diminishing or degrading our abilities to adjust and to adapt to climate change and the effects that it has on the communities. We all recall what happened during Maria, how these coastal features were decimated because of wave action and so on and so forth. So with good coral bed protections along the coast, that is what really absorbs a lot of the shocks. So it protects the coastline from erosion. It protects the diversity of the area. So that can contribute to the livelihoods of fishers.
David added that functional marine reserves serves as a valuable learning opportunity which can be expanded across the island to develop integrated coastal zone management strategies.
When we have marine reserves that are functioning properly, it means that we can learn from these experiences and upscale that across the island to develop integrated coastal zone management strategies and planning. And we talk about marine spatial planning, which is very critical. So all of these aspects, we are learning from the experiences in the Sufria area. And hopefully one day we can upgrade and contribute towards a more holistic national development plan with the coastal areas featuring very prominently, because a lot of the resources, a lot of the raw materials is really connected to the coastal marine interface being an island. There are a number of areas. I think a lot of the land-based influences, a lot of liquid waste pollution that we dump into the, or contaminants that we dump into the rivers, poor farming practices up in the watershed areas. All of that can contribute to siltation, contaminants. Certainly, I mean, the rivers are connected.
Camille David, Project Officer for the Sustainable Marine Financing Project. In other news, in response to a recent surge in school violence incidents, including several disturbing chopping episodes among students, senators in St. Lucia are advocating for increased security measures in educational institutions. Senator Alison Jha expressed concerns, suggesting that St. Lucia should explore solutions for more developed countries to address escalating violence in school, drawing from parallels with the United States, where school shootings are common. Jha proposed implementing detect metal detectors at school entrances as a preventative measure. Jha emphasized that a school should be a safe haven for children, conducive to learning without fear, underscoring the importance of prioritizing student safety. Independent Senator Anthony Daly Lee echoed Jha's sentiments, emphasizing the paramount importance of scrutiny and security, even if it means compromising on small aspects of students' privacy. Lee supported student searches as part of a comprehensive security protocol, emphasizing a public safety over concerns about personal privacy within school premises. And as the conflict in Ukraine progresses into its third year, the infantry of the 59th Brigade faces a dire situation, a shortage of soldiers and ammunition to offend or to brush off advancing Russian forces. According to one platoon commander, only an estimated 60-70% of the brigade's initial strength of several thousand soldiers remain.
As Ukraine enters a third year of war, the 59th Infantry Brigade is facing a bleak reality. It's running out of soldiers and ammunition. Reuters reporters spent 2 weeks near the front line ahead of the February 24th anniversary, speaking to more than 20 soldiers and commanders. While still motivated to fight the Russian invaders, they described the challenges of holding off a larger and better supplied enemy. One of them is a company commander who goes by the call sign Limousine.
We have a big problem with manpower. We simply lack men. People have lost the enthusiasm which they had at the beginning of the full-scale invasion. We need big reinforcements. Many people here are tired.
Another commander estimated that just 60 to 70% of the several thousand men in the brigade at the start of the conflict were still serving. The rest had been killed, wounded, or signed off.
Our guys are now spending more time in the trenches and on positions. You can see yourself what the weather's like. Rain, snow. As a result, people simply get ill with flu or angina. They're out of action for some time, and there is nobody to replace them.
In December, Putin ordered Russia's forces to be increased by 170,000 troops to 1.3 million. Ukrainian officials have said their armed forces number around 800,000. Artillery shells are also in short supply, with Kyiv relying heavily on money and equipment from abroad to fund its war effort.
If America doesn't assist Ukraine, Putin is all too likely to succeed.
But with $61 billion in U.S. aid held up by political bickering in Washington, and with the EU conceding it will miss its target to supply 1 million shells to Ukraine, it is looking more exposed than ever.
That's the midday news, and of course, here's a recap of the headlines. CCM Treasurer John Blanchard is questioning why the bill granted to former Prime Minister Edison James is higher than that given to individuals who have committed serious offences. Several senators in St. Lucia advocates for enhanced security measures in schools following recent violent incidents, including some disturbing chopping incidents among students. And as the Ukraine war enters its third year, the infantry of 59th Brigade are confronting the brick reality that they are running out of soldiers and ammunition to resist their Russian invaders. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Right on.
I am Ferdinand Valmond.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q.